friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Spring break is upon us down here in Florida. It's interesting. Trying to go anywhere, any point in time.
It's pretty much stay at home here.
That's stay at home.
I'm making a shake now, but this time I put my protein powder in it over there so I could do it neatly.
We've made a mess out of this table last week.
It was awful.
Coming in, making it off the cuff and throwing it everywhere. And then I also got powder all over my arm.
I had powder everywhere. I'm still cleaning it up this morning.
Well, the Fit Food is just such a good shake in the morning. I actually put together a kit that we're going to be throwing out there. It's the shake, the protein shake with the purple sticks. Never really put that together as a kit before. But I have a lot of people ask me, they're like, Austin, sometimes in the morning I don't have time to make eggs. I'm rushed. I got kids. I got this. I've literally got to be in and out right now. And I'm like, well, eggs are obviously the best breakfast, but if you don't have that time and you really are maxed out on time, two or three scoops of that Fit Food in a shaker with a purple stick takes about 30 seconds to get it down.
You know, there used to be a product. It was an instant breakfast. I'm not going to mention the name because it's probably still being sold and it's absolute garbage. It's high fructose corn syrup out of the Yin Yang, right?
Yeah.
And I used to use it. Yep. I didn't know any better. I was a teenager. I just mix it up, put a glass of water, and have it go.
This was convenient. We got stuff like
that. No, this is way beyond that. This is a great product. This is basically a purple stick mixed with chocolate Fit Food.
And I tell you, it stacks good. Now,
it's like an instant breakfast.
Yeah, and if you don't want to use the berry flavor, purple sticks with the Fit Food chocolate, we have it in vanilla as well. That probably actually tastes a little bit better.
Yeah, chocolate is a pretty good kick, though. That's really high quality chocolate.
Well, lots of news going on right now. And be sure to check out the product of the week, my friends. And thank you for liking, subscribing, and following us on a lot of the podcast platforms that we're on right now. We've been working diligently to bring you guys these shows every single day, including on Rumble, Spotify, Gab, and sign up for the updates.
Okay, now, quick question. The Angel Wars series, is it only on the Brower Show? Is it at Team Health Masters also? I've been getting emails crazy.
No, we're not putting on Team Health Masters. We have the link for the podcast up here, and this contains everything that we need because everything is coupled. That way we've kept Team Health Masters separate from the Ted and Austin Brower Show. So you go up to podcast, new Brower Show. If you can't find Angel Wars, I don't know what to tell you.
I've
made it two clicks. It's two clicks.
Okay, start over again.
Okay.
Okay, go back to Team Health Masters.
Team Health Masters, right?
Team Health Masters, boom, done.
I got a giant purple button up here. It's purple. You can't miss the purple button.
You're making it easy.
No, only purple button on the entire website, right? So you go up here, podcast, purple button, new Brower Show website. Click, Angel Wars at the top. Click.
That should have a description now.
We did. We got your description.
Here we go. You guys asked for it.
We got it now.
Okay, here's the description. Let me read it. The Angel Wars series go into detail on the following topics. What happened to the pre-Adamic civilization? Why did Satan rebel? How was he defeated? Was he judged? Was he locked up in Antarctica? That's a big one. You got to listen to the series just for that. Why did God start over with the Garden of Eden? How were humans created? Was the earth refurbished? Why did Adam and Eve fall? What was the plan? Are the ancient ones still ruling our planet? What was the real purpose of the Tower of Babel? Why was a blood covenant necessary? Plus much, much, much more with a plethora of scriptures.
Tower of Babel is an interesting one. I remember that one. I did research.
After that, there were thousands of religions came in after that. And that basically just Satan tried to destroy the relationship with God Almighty, with human beings, because they all knew who God was before that.
Yep.
And they decided they were going to change it. By the way, I saw this the other day, and it's interesting. You know, BlackRock, purchased, 41, parts in the Panama Canal in a $23 billion deal. Trump reaffirms plans to send in the military to seize the canal. And Larry Fink basically is the one who got together with Trump and called him personally about BlackRock doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me just finish this. I'm gonna cover this in just a second. And then you look at Blackstone CEO Stephen Schwartzman will back Trump. And then you see that's Blackstone CEO. And then Biden's ties to BlackRock develops, with latest Treasury hires from a couple of years ago. And then you realize that former Biden economic, advisor Pyle was to return back to BlackRock. So we've got BlackRock and Blackstone running both sides of the narrative.
Yeah.
One of them is backing Trump. One of them is backing Kamala Harris. The other one's backing, Biden. And you think, wait a minute.
Both sides.
And then it goes right back to the I'm posting this again tonight. Understanding the Kabbalist left-right charade. And again, Kuhn Lieber Baker says, we control both left and right. In a candid dinner conversation after World War One, Kuhn lead partner Otto Kahn was asked why capitalist bankers supported communism. And they talk about what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they're doing it, and how they control both sides. Now, how can they do this? Because BlackRock is huge. Blackstone is huge. You know, all these rest of these giant companies are huge. BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And what you realize very, very quickly, because of circular ownership and the purchasing of each other's stocks, they work together in unison. And then you begin to realize they're all controlled by the international banking cartels. This is how they control. The bankers control both sides of the narrative, period. Just like he says in this article. I'll have you guys read it again. But always remember, it's a show. It's a circus show. Now we've got a bunch of, you know, rebels throwing missiles at an aircraft carrier. Did you see that?
Yes.
They didn't sink the aircraft carrier. They were stopped before any damage was done. But here's the point. How do we know those rebels did it? How do we know that Mossad didn't do it? How do we know that the CIA didn't do it? And how do we know that MI6 didn't do it? How do we know any of this stuff is real, since there's so many weapons that have been trafficked through Ukraine now? Nobody has any idea who's doing this. So why are they trying to cause a bigger war? Then Trump unleashed a barrage of cruise missiles on them, and now you're like, wow. And over in Syria, by the way, the one that basically was overthrown with Assad, all these people now are being butchered like a bunch of animals over there.
They're targeting Christians.
Precisely, the Christians. And we're thinking, oh, well, they're better off than they were now. Yeah, just like the Christians in Gaza are better off, aren't they, Austin? They're getting butchered too. So all of this stuff, when you see it, you got to realize it's a left-right charade circus show with a 23-ring circus with Trump and now Biden. They've had to retire Biden because they couldn't keep him pumped up on enough amphetamines.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'm going to go into that whole story here in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Weird stuff.
And so here, and this is the next story I want you to. This is really important, what just happened with Donald Trump.
This just came out. You guys saw this last night. Whether or not this is theater distraction, which I don't think it is. I think these guys got busted at the end of Biden's administration.
Biden had no idea what he was signing. He can't sign 1,000 pardons.
10 days after the Heritage Foundation's oversight project disclosed that nearly every document bearing former president's signature during his first term has been signed by an auto pen. Questions arose whether executive orders and pardons are now even valid. Overnight, President Trump declared the 11-hour pardons, including those given to members of Congress who investigated January 6th insurrection, are void, vacant, and no further force or effect because the fact they were done by auto pen. Says the pardons that sleepy Joe Biden gave the unselect committee of political thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacant, and no further effect or force. The president continued, in other words, Joe Biden did not sign any of them. More importantly, he didn't know anything about them. The necessary pardon documents were not explained or approved by Biden. He knew nothing about them, and the people did what may have committed a crime.
And else this includes Fauci and Cheney, too, by the way.
Yeah. This is pretty
big.
Wild.
This is a big deal.
Because that's I've always been under that impression as far as with these pardons, they have to be physically signed with a pen. That's what you ever notice when you see Donald Trump sign all those pardons, even the executive orders. He signs them, he turns around, he shows everybody the signature, puts it back down. Apparently, Sleepy Joe is in the basement eating ice cream, and they're just up there like,
well,
auto-correct.
When he uses the bathroom in his own pants,
yeah,
okay, on the platform, you see him squatting down. I mean, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. Because it was the former president, not really, of the United States, acting as the former president. And he's basically using the bathroom in his pants. And his wife has to, you know, walk him off with his Depends to put a big load in his pants. And he didn't know where he is. Or he turns the wrong direction. No, he's completely senile. So there's no, and there's, so he's just done what they told him to do to the best of his ability. And I feel sorry for him. He belongs in a nursing home or some kind of assisted care.
This makes so much sense, though, why these pardons were signed at the very last second, right before the inauguration. Because remember, I asked you, I said, why in the world are they signing all these pardons?
I mean, a few minutes before the inauguration, how in the world are they going to do that? He's supposed to be on the palace. He's supposed to be at the inauguration. Biden's supposed to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it was like you said, the 11th hour pardons. I mean, it was right at the last second, all these pardons get signed randomly.
He did not even know anything about them. The necessary party documents were not explained to or approved by Biden. He never knew anything about them. And the people that did may have committed a crime. May have committed a crime. Are you kidding me? If they're doing this outside of the parameters of the president of the United States, that's not make kind of committed a crime. That's full blown fraud, Austin.
This is pretty wild. Man. So we're going to see where this goes, what happens with it, and whether or not this is to be done as a distraction. The problem is I don't think it is. This is something that I think these guys got busted with last second because I think everybody was scrambling.
Oh, by the way, we got Israeli, you know, Jewish comedians now telling jokes about Gaza.
It didn't take long.
No, and the crowd didn't even know what to say. It says, you know, he says, I don't believe that Palestinian films should win any awards ever because they only know how to play the one role, victim. Mayor and Israeli comedian Yoni, whatever his name, fails to make a crowd laugh about his satirical stint on Palestinians, and Pollywood actors left the room silent. He's either joking about all these people in Gaza, basically, that have been murdered and genocided, and makes it a joke that they only want to be the victim. You know, when you have an overwhelming force coming to a country, Austin.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't make any difference, whether it's the Gaza thing or what happened with Roger Stone. And you've got dozens and dozens of police officers come in with full gear, full tactical gear, full riot gear, full automatic weapons, by land and by sea, by the way, in the canal he lived on, everything, right? You know, it's not funny.
No.
Okay, you should have knocked on the door and given the guy, you know, a warrant. Or arrested
him. That's all they had to do. They could have showed up at the sheriff's
and then
department.
CNN showed up. They were given the
4 a.m. for a no-knock search warrant. CNN, for the first time in history, has shoulder-to-shoulder access with the FBI SWAT team on a raid. That's never happened in history. It doesn't happen. They don't ever give media access to hot fire teams going in on a raid. They never have. They never will. They'll have body cam footage. CNN was right there with cameras on Roger Stone at his front door. It was like a circus show. Like it was some reality show, dude.
Oh, by the way, there's a good article in the Wall Street Journal. There's several other articles, part of, you know, sub websites too. And it said basically it's talking about Xanax generation.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And it says when Dana Bayer tried to quit Xanax, it was too late. In 2023, at least 24 million Americans took Xanax and other benzodiazepines. And doctors now are coming to grips with the harmful effects stretching back decades. Drug's been around for 30, 40 years. And you finally look at it and you start to realize that, you know, this lady herself, you know, and the other ladies were talking about in this article, they became incredibly addicted to it. And then they go on to say that if you take a Xanax and two beers, you get busted for DUI. It ain't the two beers. You start mixing methyl, these benzodiazepines, with alcohol.
Oh, it has a massive compounding effect.
Well, it turns you into a zombie.
Yeah.
And I've personally seen this with someone who did this. They basically drank a couple of Bloody Marys over an 8-hour period, took some Xanax, and they literally could not function. They could not answer questions. They couldn't even walk. They were like in a zombie phase. And you're like, what the heck's wrong with you?
Well, it says right on the bottle, do not consume with alcohol. Do not mix alcohol. I mean, they
well,
just said on
no,
the package.
No, and this lady basically got so addicted to it, she couldn't function anymore. She wrote a suicide note.
Yeah.
This is not funny. And she said, if I die, I did not commit suicide. I was murdered by this stuff.
Wow. That's rough.
And then she committed suicide.
That's a horrible story.
No, I know it's a horrible story, but I'm telling you guys, you know, this stuff, the Xanax, these benzodiazepines, we had a guy named Mike come on years ago who worked at rehab clinics in Australia, and he told us, he said, you won't die from a heroin overdose as long as they keep you well hydrated, you know, as far as a withdrawal.
Heroin
overdose, you could die for pretty quick. Yeah. Okay, but the reality is, he said that you die from getting off of benzodiazepines. Yep. You can die. You seizure out and just die. And I'm telling you, this stuff is as addictive as it's unbelievable. Awesome.
Well, what's interesting too is I talked to one of my buddies about it years ago. It was in the music industry, and he said what's happened is now too is the drug has become so prevalent in the music industry and the media industry because they do is a lot of these young stars, they're all anxious and having, you know, all this anxiety when they're doing these shows, and so a lot of these producers and a lot of these handlers start getting them hooked on Xanax, and they're easier to basically control as far as with all their music and all their contracts. They don't even care anymore. So it really takes away your inhibition to do anything. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting.
Okay, well, let's say that again. It takes away your inhibition, and you start doing anything.
Right.
And that means it leads to heavier drugs. It leads to all kinds of promiscuity, at least, and no, it's a mess.
It can lead to all kinds of stuff, including not wanting to do anything other than try to get more drugs. So it's be very cautious with those. And you guys know the product of the week, B Complex, following up on that. You guys voted it. It won on Team Health Masters. I'll pull it up here. For over 15% off right now. And what's interesting?
Great product.
Great product. What's interesting is I saw an article that popped up here, and it talks about B vitamins, your brain's natural repair kit. It says daily wear and tear on the nervous system is normal, but B vitamins play an important role in maintenance and regeneration. they said, went into detail here, and it talks about how B vitamins actually rebuild and help regenerate the body. It said our B vitamins, our bodies cannot produce B vitamins. Thus, we must obtain them from our diet. They're water soluble. I talk about this all the time, which means they aren't stored in our fat. They must be consumed regularly. The three essential Bs for the nervous system is B1, B6, and B12, which prevent nerve degradation, help rejuvenate cells, and safeguard healthy nerve signaling. Well-balanced diet usually helps out. However, a lot of the food now is very void of really high-quality B vitamins. I mean, crop rotation, everything in between from the last 100 years, the food quality has gone down. I mean, if you're getting certified organic and you're getting stuff, you know, from local farms, the quality of it still just isn't what it used to be. And that's why we started producing some of the highest quality supplements in the world so you can keep your body strong and healthy. And it said essentially these B vitamins work with the nerves and prevent oxidative stress. They said B1 contributes to the structural integrity and energy metabolism of the nerves, systems, cells. B6 and B12 are basically integrated in how efficiently the cells relay message. And it talks about B6 with brain chemicals. This is why the B5, B6 corticare that we have is so important. It says the field of psychiatry often prescribes medicines to change these pathways. When we have either excess or basically short of given transmitters, cells may fail to signal excessively. Thus, B6 has been linked to providing adequate amounts of neurotransmitters, ensuring that too much of a given neurotransmitter doesn't build up and become toxic. B12 also has a similar function. And so I'll put this article on the website. You guys can read over it. Because, again, it's so important to stay actively updated on your B vitamins. That's why we have the purple sticks. You guys notice it's a full box.
I brought it out here for you. So you wouldn't fuss at me.
Yeah, I'm fussing about all these empty boxes. Yeah, like that.
I figured I'd fix that.
That's why we threw all this B complex, B vitamins in the purple sticks.
You know, it's funny this morning because I've got a friend of mine who had bad bariatric surgery.
Yep.
And, you know, she was having all kinds of problems with memory. She was having all kinds of problems with motivation. She basically couldn't stay focused. And we got her on the B complex in the powdered multiple.
Yep.
And I tell you what, she's a completely different person. She's goal oriented. She's focused. She's all focused. She's got her energy back. She goes, I cannot believe how deficient I was in supplements.
It'll change your life. And I'm not just saying that because I take the product or I sell the product. I get so many responses and basically reviews from people that are having energy problems and focus problems.
I took your advice.
On what?
On the creatine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I took some of that yesterday.
We like creatine.
Now, I don't know if it was the creatine or whatever, but I mean, I went out like a doggone light bulb last night. I slept a full 8 hours. I mean, I didn't even roll over. It was nothing. It was down and out.
I told you I did that. We read that article last week. I didn't even know about this far as creatine.
Now, I sleep pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, because I used the melatonin or I used like a sleep. I used to sleep like a baby kid. But I threw that in there just to see what it would do. And it was pretty doggone fast. I was amazed. Now, whether that did that or I was just tired, I don't know. I'll tell you again tomorrow.
The creatine is going to help you sleep like a baby. It does.
I'll tell you what happened last night.
Yeah. I know it's good for the brain.
And I'm looking forward to trying it in the gym now. What's the loading phase? Like, you don't have to take like 3 capsules.
I mean, you only have to load on it if you're going to train, like, you know, 2 to 3 capsules, 2 to 3 times a day.
Oh, that much?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can run a couple grams of it. I mean, if you really want to get some strength increase, if you're just trying to get repair and nutrient and like increase in ATP production out of it, like 3 a day is fine.
Okay.
That's like 1,500 milligrams, and it's in the extended release capsule. So it absorbs in the small intestines, which allows you to actually absorb all of it. And I've talked about it in detail last week. It doesn't break down into creatinine in the stomach.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and increase it to 6 a day.
Yeah.
I want to see what
you'll get a pump at the gym with 6. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
take 3 of them twice.
Yeah, I'll take some. We got done with the show this morning before I work out. But I was intrigued by that last night because I mean I literally put my head down and just went out.
Yeah.
I woke up like in the same position, hadn't even moved all night. I'm like, okay,
it could have been you're exhausted from dealing with my kids all weekend, Hunter.
That's true. I didn't have the kids. Oh, let me tell you though, this
oh yeah, you got something story. Yeah,
last week I was eating at a restaurant. At a hotel, and I couldn't believe it. There were two kids sitting there, and they were basically coloring.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have iPads or iPhones. And the one of them was like 3, the other one was like 5. And one was a little girl, cute little girl. And their parents were very, very, very nice. So I walked over to them. I kind of like to do this stuff for content for the show. And kind of, I guess I'm a little nosy, too. I got to work on the nosy stuff. I've gotten better about that.
You have gotten better.
I told him, I said, please, I'm not trying to be offensive here, but I'm just going to make a comment. I said, I love the fact that you don't have these children on an iPad, and they're so well-behaved. Yep. And they said, we don't do that. I said, great. So then I'm sitting there watching them as I'm eating. I'm going, all right, these kids are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
I said, I guarantee you they're not vaccinated. I'm thinking to myself, all right, should
here
I be
go nosy
oh,
again.
God, here I go. And so I went over to him. I said, can I ask you guys a personal question? And they said, well, sure, go ahead. And I said, it's going to be personal. I said, well, this is all right. It's fine. Go ahead. He says, did you vaccinate your kids? They go, absolutely not.
There you go.
And I looked at him. I went, okay. I had four. I didn't vaccinate them either. And he said, okay. So I said, great. And they started asking me questions. And I told them I was an author. And they wanted my name. And they wanted to Google me. And I said, okay, great. So have fun with it. But the point was, I told them, I said, look, it's very important that you continue to eat. And the kids were eating super clean. And these kids were super well behaved. And then right behind us, there was another table with other kids, circles under their eyes, screaming and yelling, pitching fists, you know, iPads, iPhones, you know, I mean, unbelievable. And I thought, and I thought myself, I don't even have to ask them if those kids are vaccinated. I already know.
That's horrible.
It's sad
though, but you're right. That is, it is, it's sad.
But the difference was so black and white.
But, I mean, and too, you got to look at the function. It's also factors in the food they eat on a regular basis, how much sugar they're consuming, how they're disciplined. All those factors play a role, vaccines being a huge factor on it. But again, this is another reason why it's so important to really have an all-encompassed aspect when it comes to the kids and making sure you're taking care of their diet, you're taking care of their health overall, they're getting the B vitamins, and they're staying away from a lot of the processed junk food and the sugar all the time. It's really important.
Oh, by the way, I know your wife took Kendall, your youngest daughter, her mom, to a hotel with some friends this weekend. And I remember they said that all the little boys were staring at your daughter. And I'm like, get ready for that one, bud.
She's
only 7 years old. Almost. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was in there. Get away, my daughter. Yeah. I was like, I mean, oh, gosh. And it begins.
Well, she looks just like your mom, so it's gonna be interesting for that one as far as from a dating standpoint.
She looks like Sharon too, though. That's why I said your mom.
Sharon, yeah.
Yeah, no.
She acts like Sharon too. It's funny.
Yeah, I'm gonna have my hands full of that one. I don't know what I'm gonna do there.
And she was just hype, Sharon. She was an amazing woman. I was blessed to be with her for all those years.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is interesting. LGBT propaganda. They basically are slamming God now, the Most High God. Total blasphemy. You know, against me, tranny does performative blasphemy and sad display of punk rock's rot. An individual I barely recognize, and not just because of his gender transition, formerly called so-and-so, I'm not going to bring his name up, offered a parody of protest music at Bernie Sanders' rally recently. And I'm not going to even read you this. I posted it online. It's unbelievably filthy. And it's sad to me that these people are actually doing this and talking like this and acting like this. Then it's just unreal how filthy it is. By the way, another thing that's actually good, more than 250 Tren de Aragua gang members are deported to El Salvador prison, says Marco Rubio. Now, I'm watching these guys get out with their tattoos all over their faces, and they're being dragged off the airplanes by armed guards and police escorts and looks like all kinds of people down to El Salvador. And it says the United States has designated the Venezuelan gang as a terrorist organization.
Good.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio said on March the 6th that Trump administration sent more than 250 Venezuelans against court order, by the way, by this lower court judge, accused of being members of this gang back to a prison in El Salvador amid an active federal court ruling ordering the deportation flights to cease.
Yep.
Trump's ignoring that, which I'm so happy about. He's waiting for the Supreme Court to rule. Rubio said El Salvador had agreed to hold the gang members in their very good jails at a fair price that will also save taxpayer dollars in his statement posted on social media. It's funny to me. We've got to send these gangs back to some of the countries of origin, and that they get put into prison, and we have to pay for it. I just find that so ironic, Austin. The good price is probably $5 a day.
Oh, I guess it's cheap. Now, you've seen some photos of that prison, though. Now, you're talking about high security prison, dude.
Is it?
I mean, it's all animals in there.
Well, now, you know, did you see the video of that guy eating that rat in New York this week?
No, I missed that video. Do you want me to pull it up and show everybody?
No, I don't want to say it's horrible. This homeless guy decides to, I'm just a sister.
Eat a raw rat?
Yeah, dead one. That's a dead rat. That's hungry.
That's
now you know the sad part about it is number one is that we live in a country where we got rats running around like this that are basically being eaten by other people. You know, the bubonic plague was a real problem. You know that, right? I mean, it was bad. It all was from rats.
Didn't realize. I thought it was a joke. Someone in New York, and I saw one of the sewer rats down in the subway. I had no idea how big they were. Oh, yeah. There's those things are swamp rats.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
They're huge. I saw something. I'm like, golly.
You remember that one time we were in Seattle and we were walking down to the fish market and there was a guy who was arresting that homeless guy behind the dumpster?
Yeah, he's like crawling under the dumpster. They're dragging him out of handcuffs.
You get into some of these. That's back when Seattle was, you know, wasn't as liberal as it is now.
Yeah.
Now I guess they would just let anybody go. But no.
Oh, yeah. Now they tell you just to crap on the sidewalk and throw your used needles everywhere. No, that's San Diego.
No, that's San Francisco.
San Francisco. I can't keep up with the liberal cities.
Yeah, San Francisco. Was at one time one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I mean, it really, really, really is.
That time
sad.
Is come and gone.
Yeah, it is. What's your next story, buddy?
This is an interesting story as well. And I was pulling this up, and it says here, Trump signs order to dismantle 8 federal agencies. Now, I'm talking completely dissolve them. This is interesting. It says Trump signed executive order late Friday evening to dismantle 8 federal agencies that are deemed unnecessary. The order directs agencies to shut down all non-legally required functions, cut staff, and reduce all statutory roles to the bare minimum required by law. It was interesting here. I was going through it. Where was it at? It says the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, United States Agency of Global Media, Woodrow Wilson International Center.
Woodrow Wilson. What the heck is that all about?
United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. You know, you gotta ask yourself the million-dollar question. The United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. If there's actually an agency that's there to manage homelessness, they're doing a poor job at it.
That's sad.
It really is. And I think that's what they're looking at here. Community Development Financial Institution Fund and Minority Business Development Agency. And what's happened now is a lot of these centers, when I've looked them up, they have been essentially used by USIT as front companies front agencies to launder and fund more money. Because then USIT would come in and give these other agencies these giant piles of cash. Mm-hmm. You're doing this for some type of, you know, whatever work it is. And then these agencies throw the money out to contractors. That money goes to LLCs, and they're just washing money.
Well, what happens is they're distributing the funds so they can distribute them more.
Because it's harder to trace and track.
It's harder to trace and track because you're going through multiple levels of layers. The biggest problem that you have is when you're trying to give away hundreds of billions of dollars a year is the ability to have the staffing to be able to look at all these different people that you're giving the money to and find out what it's really being used for. So it's like Moses did this, you know, the scalar principle of management. You know, you got 10 people managing 10 people managing 10 people managing 10 people all the way down, and you create an organizational pyramid. And that's what they're doing here. They're using all these different subgroups in order to create an organizational pyramid to distribute cash through USIT. That's what this was.
This was United States Agency for Global Media, mm-hmm. which runs Voice of America and Radio Free Asia, has an annual budget of right under $1 billion, and operates networks broadcasting in more than 60 languages around 100 countries. It has been a target of criticism. Who say essentially what it is, it's just a total liberal bias mainstream media. If you look
it's
up
like PBS.
If you look this up, all it is straight propaganda.
Yeah.
It's $1 billion fund to push propaganda of the United States of what it's involved in, and essentially communistic agenda, in my opinion, now, all over the world. And I mean,
you know what's interesting to me is the actual wealth of the United States. No, you think about this for a
second.
Look
at these numbers.
No,
bro.
You're looking at hundreds, billions, trillions of dollars a year.
Yep.
You know, and because of the United States being the reserve currency of the world, we have this absolutely leveraged ourselves out beyond belief. We have gotten so many credit cards now. Say, well, I got a credit card for a $10,000 limit. I need 100 more of those. You're like, that can get you in trouble really quick. And all of a sudden, and the United States, well, I don't need 100 more. I need 1,000 more. Remember the millions of credit cards that were out there with Donald Trump?
$40 billion a year on actual credit cards from federal employees and federal workers.
And that's a drop in the bucket for trillions of dollars. And people don't realize, I mean, it's only 4% of a trillion. And so the sad part about this is when you look at this, you go, this is insane how many people are out there using government funds in order to accomplish what they want on their own personal agendas. And the sad part about it is you and me, okay, and the country, because of its credit, is paying for this. We cannot charge enough income tax to cover the federal budget.
Not close anymore.
You would basically strip everybody of every penny they make, and you still wouldn't cover it. And so we're in a situation now where we are running on credit cards.
It has to run on a deficit. And the crazy part about this is I was talking to a guy in the market the other day about this, and he said the only thing, because this giant spider web has gotten so big, he said we have to be very, very cautious how they start making these cuts, because it's going to throw us in an unbelievably aggressive recession if this goes too hard. He goes, because you got to remember, all this money trickles down. These $10,000 credit cards that were $40 billion a year from all these employees, they spent them on food. They spent them on different items. All that money trickles down to the economy. So when you start cutting hundreds of billions of dollars, and now you're saying they're going to cut $2 trillion is what Doge is talking about. I am 100% for it. However, everybody needs to get ready. It is going to make everything tighten up and contract.
Well,
that's a lot of cash.
It's like we mentioned the last 2 weeks. We've covered it a couple of times. We have to save the reserve status of the U.S. Right. dollar. And the only way we can do this, we've got to cut expenses. Oh, by the way, this is an article from Daily Mail. Brianna becomes obese through for no fault of her own, and there's millions just like her. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. This is simply not true.
I'm still analyzing that statement.
Well, they're dealing with a thyroid gland now. Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
That's where the whole thing goes back. Okay.
Yeah.
And as the truth of the matter is, you know, this lady gained 40 pounds in the span of 6 months, right? Now, that's a lot of weight to gain, but I see it over and over and over again. Now, what they don't do is they don't look at the other variables associated with this.
Right.
Number one, you got to deal with halogens. You got to deal with bromine. You got to deal with chlorine. You got to deal with fluoride. And when women start using those types of compounds in high dosing, like with bread and with chlorinated water and fluoride toothpaste and fluoride treatments, okay, the thyroid starts to think that those compounds, because they're halogens, are basically iodine. So thyroid doesn't work as well as it needs to. But here's the problem. Then let's go ahead and sack down to 3 or 4 bottles of wine every day, or 3 or 4 glasses of wine every day. And suddenly, you know, you stop the production of an enzyme called lipase, and suddenly you start storing fat like crazy. So when they come back in and they zero back in and they say, there's no fault of her own. I would like to see a food chart, Austin. I'd like to see a food diary on what she was eating to gain 40 pounds in 6 months. But I see this over and over and over again, but it's always somebody else's fault. Now, it can be the thyroid. I'm not even going to dismiss that. If you have complete thyroid failure and you're basically not eating much food, you can gain weight from it, but you can always reduce the amount of caloric intake and cut back on the lousy carbohydrates that you're taking in and the high fructose corn syrup and the alcohol and the bread.
Potassium bromate is in almost all processed bread products. This is a really key product.
This will really make you gain weight.
Bromine, potassium bromate, there's a couple different
things. Tears up the thyroid gland.
Tears up the thyroid, tears up the kidneys, tears up the liver. It's unbelievably toxic. And if you pull it up, it doesn't take much research right at the top. It is known to be carcinogenic in humans and can cause kidney, thyroid, and gastrointestinal cancer. There's no safe level of exposure to carcinogens. However, it's in almost every bread product. Just be aware. That's why I just brought this up, because I've noticed what happens is a lot of times people start having issues with the thyroid and they can't lose weight because of the stuff they're eating. It goes hand in hand. If you're eating a copious amount of bread, you're going to pack on weight. I don't care who you are. If you're eating a loaf of bread a day, you're going to get fat.
I can't
eat bread.
I try to avoid it. I may have an organic biscuit every couple of times.
Well, a biscuit or something like that, or a sandwich. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eating bread with basically almost every single meal.
Here's symptoms of hypothyroidism, or dealing with basically not having enough iodine in your diet.
There you go.
Thinning hair loss, puffy face, dry and coarse skin, constipation, cool extremities, swelling of the limbs, carpal tunnel syndrome, infertility and heavy menstruation, poor appetite, slow heartbeat, enlarged thyroid, and loss of eyebrow hair. Wow. You know, so all of these different things basically, you know, but then it says this, she started doing a healthy lifestyle to lose weight, started eating healthy, and a combination of these things worked.
There you go.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. All right. Let's just be real. You know, if you're eating clean and you feel great,
yeah.
Okay, and then you stop eating clean and you get sick. You have these symptoms. Doesn't it make sense if you'd stayed eating clean to start with, you never would have gotten the symptoms?
I mean, that's an easy concept to understand, but that is hard for some people to grasp.
No, if you want to weigh 180 pounds and you're weighing 180 pounds, you're eating super clean and you're exercising, you start eating junk food all the time, you balloon up to 280 pounds. If you'd have been eating clean the entire time, you wouldn't have gained 100 pounds.
Well, one thing, this is just part of it. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys, it comes down to a lot of it's discipline. A lot of times people lack the discipline in all areas of their life, and it leads to the basically poor diet. If you don't want to get out of bed and you don't want to get anything done and you don't want to finish your task and you don't want to go to the gym, you don't want to go outside and do anything, all you want to do is lay around and eat trash all day, it's going to be systemic. It's going to go everywhere throughout your life. And so, again, eating clean is one of the most effective ways to start building discipline, because you're the only one who can control it.
Perfect example. I'm not going to mention any names here. Years ago, I had a girl and her father, I'm good friends of theirs. She had a wedding to go to, and she wanted to lose 120 pounds.
Yep.
And I told her, I said, okay, we can help you do that. And she came to start coming to the gym every day.
Yep.
And she basically was working out really hard, and she lost the weight.
I remember that.
Remember that? And she ended up, I think she was 280. She went down to 160.
Yeah. She lost a lot of weight.
And she really started looking good. About another 30 pounds, and she would have been really, really, really pretty. And I'm not saying if you're overweight, you can't be pretty. Don't send me letters on, okay?
I can't believe you just phrased that.
That sounded awful. Okay, my bad. Okay, I should have said that.
He didn't mean it that way, guys.
She had very good facial features, and you would have been able to see the high cheekbones and all that. But that doesn't matter. Like, I'm just digging myself in, so I'm going to stop.
Anyways.
Well, anyhow, so what happens, I went by their house one time for a party, and I looked in her room. You couldn't see the floor. You couldn't see the bed. The whole room was just trashed. You know, garbage, trash, clothes everywhere. And I said something to her. You know, when she's working out, I said, you know, this is systemic, this lack of discipline. I said, if you're not careful as far as keeping your room clean and taking care of the stuff that God gave you, it'll spill back over to your physical body.
Yep.
And she goes, well, I don't buy that. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, it wasn't 6 months after she basically lost the weight and gone to the wedding. Suddenly, school became more important to her, which was a cop-out because she was doing school and working out. Her diet became different. She ended up gaining that weight back plus more. And you're like, well, she gained over 100 pounds. Like, oh, yeah. And you're like, well, that's a terrible story. I'm just telling you what happens, and also just pointed to it. When you're disciplined, it spills out to every area of your life.
Yep.
Let me give you another example of that. You know, when I was a kid, you know, my room was a mess when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pick up my room. Who cared, right? I mean, my mom wasn't making me. She was working full time. My dad and her were divorced. I didn't care. I got to do my own thing. And finally, I started working out at the gym. Started working out at home. And I started seeing results in my body. I started seeing things change when I was like 12, 13 years old. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting pretty good shape here. And by the time I was 14, 15 years old, I was really getting in good shape. By the time I was 16, I was in great shape. Well, guess what? I started to realize that I wasn't as disciplined in other areas as I needed to be because I was getting up in the morning. I was going to the gym, and all of a sudden I started making my bed.
Yep.
That's a big deal, Bob, making your bed every day. Kids, listen to me. That's a really big deal. At least when you go to bed at night, you know you got a nice bed to get into, right? And so there's a Marine Corps admiral who talks about that. It was a great, great, great motivational speech he gives. And what was interesting about this is I started seeing this spill over to other areas of my life. Pretty soon my apartment started staying clean in college, and I started picking up everything. And I started doing my dishes. It's all systemic, and that's why it says train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it, is what the Word of God says. And when we understand that is if you develop those types of habits when you're young, especially working out, okay, as a teenager, when you don't have all these other things pulling on you, right? You know, you're not married. You don't have kids. You don't have a 40, 50, 60-hour week work week. All of a sudden, you can work out and build these healthy habits from a beginning of your life standpoint. They stick with you. It's very difficult for somebody who's in their 40s to start working out, and they never worked out, Austin.
Yeah. No, it is hard. I've talked to people about that before. They're like, bro, it's so hard to get motivated to get in the gym.
Yeah, you know,
I'm like, well, yeah, you haven't worked out for 40 years of your life. You're trying to start that as a habit now.
I trained Austin when he was young. I trained, you know, Harris when he was young. I trained Alexis when he was young. She was young. And they all still work out.
Everybody does.
Everybody still works out. And, you know, and Austin still works out because that was the lifestyle they saw. I've got another friend of mine. Her father was a bodybuilder. And she basically has been in that lifestyle her whole life, and she still eats super clean, and she still works out all the time, and she's won a bunch of international fitness competitions because, I mean, first-place trophies. And the reality is that if you train a child up in the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it. The Bible says that. Now, if you let them go in the way they should go and let them do whatever they want to do and be a slob when they're old, they'll not depart from that either.
Yep.
You know, you got to realize it works both directions. If you allow them to be undisciplined to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, then they're always going to find an excuse.
That's exactly right.
And there, you know, there's two types of people, those who find an excuse and those who find a way. The other day I was praying, and I pray for you guys all the time, and I realized that in the Old Testament, God says if you eat a certain way, you stay healthy and you're blessed. Certain lifestyle. If you don't eat that way, you're basically cursed. You know, you get sick and you die of cancer, wasting diseases, it calls it in the Bible. And then he says, basically, these are what I want you to do. These are your laws. Now, I'm going to give you a hint here. Choose life instead of death. No, that's what it says. You read it in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. That's what it says. And what the other thing is, too, you can do this. If you know that certain types of dietary programs will cure you and keep you healthy, and I use the word cure here loosely, you realize very quickly you can choose one of two things. You can choose the cure or you could choose the curse.
Yep.
Now, you think about what I just said. You can choose the cure. You can choose the curse. The cure is being disciplined, working out, taking your supplements, eating clean, drinking purified water, watching your diet, not eating foods loaded in bromine and fluorine and chlorine.
High fructose corn syrup.
High fructose corn syrup. Injecting your kids with 76 poisonous shots. If you do this the right way, you choose the cure instead of the curse. Guess what? The Bible also says, now listen to me, the curse causeless shall not come. I'll repeat that for those of you who don't know Scripture very well. The curse causeless shall not come. In other words, if you choose the curse over the curse will come upon you, but you caused it. Ugh! And I know a lot of it's because of a lack of understanding or a lack of education or a lack of reading or a lack of research, and you do it out of ignorance. It doesn't make any difference. The curse causeless shall not come. If you want to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. If you don't manage your finances properly and you end up going bankrupt and you're not paying your bills and you got a 300 Beacon score, you did it to yourself in most cases because you made bad financial decisions. Period. The same thing is true with your diet, Austin.
Let me add this in there, too, because I get people to email this about when we talk about working out and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in the gym as basically a metalhead working out in a giant gym with a ton of people all the time to have to exercise or get exercise. All right, let me clarify that. A lot of people have this misconception. We talk about working out, and they automatically think I'm talking about, you know, being a basically, you know, dungeon gym, lifting heavy weights, yelling and hollering. That is not necessary. There are numerous types of plans. And I actually talked to a friend of mine the other day, and we're probably going to put something together like this as far as a exercise workout plan that's specifically tailored to individuals with a supplement stack. I didn't tell you this. That is, I talked to a couple people about this, including Michael Barrett.
Oh, I did this years ago.
Well, no, we're going to do it again, though, because okay. I'm getting so many requests on it. We used to do it, and we stopped doing it. And so basically putting together a few key supplements with specific exercises that fit for you. So if you decide, hey, I do want to go to the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning, go hit the weights. Good. Got it. Got you lined up. If you say, I want to do stuff from home, I want to do stuff outside. I want to do this, this, this. We can tailor it for you, and I'm going to get working that on there because we used to do it a long time ago, and I stopped doing it because it takes a lot of work, but I'm getting that request so people understand what's going on with it. And, you know, you're funny you mentioned 300 Beacon score because I've always had so many people ask me on a regular basis, you know, they try to get their credit up or they need help or advice with it. Let me give you also a key advice because I have this happen multiple times. It happened recently to me. If somebody comes to you and they're asking you to loan them a large sum of money, ask them why they're not going to the bank to get that loan. Because there's these institutions, they're called banks. You go to them, you sign a paper, they give
you money. I talked to a friend about what happened to you this past weekend when I was walking around Lake Hollingsworth.
Yeah. And I've had this happen multiple times. So have you. And Dad warned me about it. I've learned the hard way, too. He's learned the hard way. When people come and say, hey, I'm trying to expand my business on this. I need a $10,000 loan. Okay. Well, there's like 8 banks in a 2-mile radius from here. I'm sure they can help you out. Well, I'm kind of having some financial problems with the banks.
That's always a story.
Just out of curiosity, I'm not prying into your business, but you're asking me for money. What's your current FICO score? What's your Beacon score? Well, I'm at like a 410 right now.
That means they don't pay their bills.
There's probably a reason why it's that. And I'm not saying people don't get issues. I've seen people that have got issues in lawsuits and had to file bankruptcy.
Well, also with health problems.
And health problems. And basically, oh gosh, I've seen 2 people that had problems. They have these gigantic medical bills. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But again, look at their background. Look at what they're doing. Because I've seen so many people come to me later on. They go, bro, I loan this guy money. He's not paying me back. What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you on that one. You probably should have done a little bit more research. So just giving you
and usually they're friends.
Yes.
And what I learned.
And it puts you in this like precarious situation because you're like, well, friend, I want to help them, but.
Give me this camera, Rich, okay? Here's the thing. Here's what I've learned with this. Number one, the Bible says never co-sign with anybody.
No.
Because it will basically take your very bed away from you. Then don't co-sign anything.
Well, you end up being responsible for the note on the car even if they don't pay for it.
Well, if they don't pay for the car, you pay for the car, and they get to keep the car.
They still get to keep the car. It's a lose-lose.
No, there's no win. But here's what I used to do, because people will always do this to you if they think you have any kind of money or savings or whatever, because they've gone to the bank and they said no, and their credit cards have all been canceled, so now they've got to come to you as their friend. I always ask them, what do you have as collateral? Do you have a watch?
Yes.
Do you have any
guns?
Guns? Anything? We have collateral. And I will say to them, I'm going to take you to the pawn shop. This is personal advice I'm giving you guys right now. And we're going to find out what your stuff's worth. So in other words, if I loan you money against your stuff, I'm not going to charge you any interest because you're my friend.
Right.
But I will take your stuff to the pawn shop to start with, and we'll
get a number on it.
And I will give you 30 days or 60 days, whatever we feel is fair, to try to help you. And if I can't get your, if you can't pay me back, that's okay. I'll take your stuff and pawn it and get my money back.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that works really well. And 90% of the time they tell you, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Cause they don't want to lose their stuff. And okay, I'm okay with that. They could, whatever they want to do. But then you also find out that you've got friends that basically that you've known for a long, long time, and you don't realize that they have a financial problem going on, and they're trying to like get you to give them an investment money because they want to use other people's money. I have a big standard policy with that. No, N-O, not going to happen, never going to happen. Now, because number one, it's you never get the money back. Now, here's another thing that a doctor friend of mine told me, and he's also a pastor, told me years ago. It was really good advice. He said, if you really want to know how a person is, who a person is, give them money.
Oh, yeah.
Give them $100. You know, if they ask you for a dollar or $100 or whatever because they're out of money or they're broken, you know them and you want to find out what their character is, don't loan them the $100. Give them the $100. Yeah. And he goes, if they have a good character, don't go out and borrow the $100. Don't do that. But, I mean, if you have that extra money there, give them $100 and don't expect it ever to come back. That way it won't ruin your friendship.
See how they respond.
For this. Here's what happens. Givers and takers are the two categories that the humans are. Okay, and if you're a giver, it's very difficult to be friends with a taker because you'll give constantly, but they'll take constantly. And whenever you ask for something back as far as like being reciprocal with you, same thing happens with marriages and relationships. They don't want to do it. You do the stinking dishes. You wash the floors. You mop everything. I'm going to go take a nap. Okay. Okay, the floors are done. The dishes are done. I've mopped the other thing. Okay, great. Now, here's another list. Do this. Well, can we go out to a movie? I'd like to see a movie with you. You're my girlfriend or you're my boyfriend. No! You got more stuff you got to do. I don't really know what to do here. I just keep giving and you keep taking. Look, peasant!
Whose relationship is this? Clean the floors, peasant.
and whether they say peasant or not, that's how you feel.
That's how they imply it.
Okay? And pretty soon you start to realize that I'm a giver, this guy or this girl's a taker, and this relationship really sucks. It's horrible, okay? And so you're like, this is awful. So then you start to say, you tell them, look, I can't keep giving. You keep taking. This is awful. Okay, and you say, well, people really aren't like that. Contrary, they are. So here's what happens. If you're a giver and you have a person come to you and you don't really know them that well, and they say, I need to borrow $100, I got to buy food. Okay, and they're friends. Now, you're a Christian, whatever. If you have the $100 to give it to them. And you'll find out immediately what kind of friend they are. Because here's what happens. If they're a good friend and they're a good person, they will be eternally grateful to you that you gave them $100.
Yep.
I'm going to be honest with you. They're going to be you're going to lock them in. They're going to be a friend of yours the rest of your life. If they're a taker, they're going to come back the next week for another $100.
Well, one thing too, I've done this and so have you. Especially if you got family or friends or people that you know and they're saying, "Hey, I need some cash for food. I'm not going to have time." Dude, I'll take you to Publix. I'll go fill up a grocery cart, make sure the kids are fed.
Some of them are on their alcohol and
that's
drugs.
That's exactly right. If they go, no, I don't need any money for food. I need the money. I don't need to go get food. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you don't want to go get food. You're asking money for food. I'll go buy you food. Well, you don't want that. I just want the money. That's a million-dollar flag right there.
Well and here's the problem with all of this stuff is if you give them a receipt for the food, they can come back and get a refund on the food. If you don't give them a receipt for the food, they get a store credit for food.
That's true.
That's better, too. But
if you get to that point.
No, but the point is, I was going to say one more thing about this. If a person's a giver, they'll be an eternal friend of yours for the $100. And now you know who they are. If they're a taker, $100 is never enough. And then if you don't give them another $100, they're going to start bad-mouthing you.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know that. They're going to badmouth you. Oh, bro, so-and-so. You didn't give me. I asked him for a loan.
He's so cheap.
Oh, my God.
Well, the reason why we got off on this tangent, this whole side note, is because the way the economy's starting to go and the recession that we're starting to fall in, you're going to see more and more people that are going to come to you, and they're going to ask you for money. They're going to ask you for help. They're going to ask for support. The biggest thing that I continue to tell everybody is focus on your friends and family. If you're going to support local groups, you're going to support local people, know what you're supporting and know where the money's going. That's so important. That's why I tell people a lot. lot of times stay away from the televangelist online. If you want to support,
please stay away from that.
Support your local churches, your local food banks, your local communities that make a difference in your area, and you know where the money's going. It's not going to fill up their G650 so they can fly across the country every single day to go ask for more money from people. Just throw that out there.
By the way, Proverbs 26:2 is the verse.
Okay.
The curse causes shall not come. I know you guys are going to ask me for that. And see, that's the thing is, if you have the ability to loan people money, you better do it with collateral. I'm letting you know.
If it's a real loan, yeah.
If it's a real loan. You do it with a car title. You do it with a, you take a ring to the pawn shop. They've got a diamond ring.
Yeah.
Do whatever you need to do, but get collateral before you do it. Because, guys, if you're going to have to really loan some serious money to somebody that you're trying to help, I can promise you there's a reason they're in the situation that they're in, and chances are it's going to get worse. I can tell you, I'm not going to get
into
that. I'm not going to get into that. But I can tell you story after story about this stuff. Anyhow, let's get off that. Remember, just pay your bills and do what you're supposed to do and try your best to honor God. And remember to pray every single day for us, and we'll pray for you. And I love you. And remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a reason he said, the poor shall always be among you. That's why he said that, not me. And the reason for that is the poor have certain habits and behavioral patterns that they don't want to change.
Including lack of discipline.
Including lack of discipline. Make your bed. Kids, make your bed.
And also, too, another article here is talking about mental health and vitamins and minerals for that. So that's another thing to maintain overall health with, is your mental health. Very, very important. A lot of people disregard it sometimes and push themselves too far mentally. And it's important if you're pushing yourself or if you're just trying to stay healthy, you're maintaining proper levels of B vitamins, magnesium, and D. This article here particularly goes into detail in a study that goes over D3. And it said the researchers highlighted the levels between vitamin D and improvements in anxiety and depression among patients. One study consisting of 46 patients over several months found that those with higher vitamin D intake experienced greater relief from anxiety and depression. It said supplementing vitamin D along taking antidepressants can actually preserve brain structure and function and connectivity while you're on those drugs for a short period of time. So again, it's even telling you if you're taking those, make sure you're taking vitamin D with them. Put a camera for here, Rich. This one right here, this was really important. It's talking about how a 2017 study linked lower levels of B12 to a higher likelihood of depression and anxiety. This is one of the main reasons why I think we're starting to see so many people with having mood regulation in the pharmaceutical drug industry.
Exactly right.
We're starting to see a massive deficiency because the food is getting so poor. Nobody's taking proper supplements. And in combination with the massive unstable levels of dopamine in people because the social media has pretty much ruined the doggone world.
Boy, that's the truth, Austin.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I have been firsthand watched this happen in my generation.
No.
I went from the old school 80s, right. 90s. Flip phone was all you had. You had a potato camera on it. It was about 8 pixels. To now, yep. Everybody wants to sit on their stinking phone all day long scrolling social media. And here's what it does to you mentally. Not only does it blow out your dopamine receptors, it makes you compare yourself to everybody else that's not
right.
Real. Social media isn't real. Twitter's not a real place. Instagram's not a real place. Everything you see on social media is designed to show the latest and greatest and best of somebody's life. And heck, now it's AI.
Okay, I got to step
There's
away.
There's AI videos and photos now that aren't even real.
He's 90%. I'm going to just be honest here because I've used a few of the dating apps, right? Because my wife's dead. I would not like to have done that normally, but I would never have done it being married. But I have found out statistically about 90% of the social media profiles on a dating app are a lie.
They're fake. They're AI.
No. Either they're AI completely generated.
Or they're a scammer.
Or they're using somebody else's photos. But he's right. And they say they write this stuff about themselves. They say this stuff about themselves. They show these photos. And 90% of the time, none of it's real.
No, it's not real. A lot of it is clickbait, too, to try to link to other things. And they basically want you to start clicking on stuff.
Well, they want to either get – they want to get information from you so they can transfer money out of your account. Just don't ever give information on sites like this. And the thing I've always learned now in the last 3 years as my wife's been passed away is always use a video call with the person immediately when you meet them online. I mean, within 24 hours. Why? Because you could spend 3 or 4 days with somebody talking to them online, and they're completely fake.
Yep.
They're completely fake. You can send hundreds of texts back and forth.
Be so cautious with the kids with this stuff now. That girl, I was reading that article again in Orlando. That 16-year-old girl met that guy and that dog on social media.
They killed her.
They butchered her, man.
No,
don't
be going to people's houses. And the crazy part, I remember one time this lady contacted me from Lakeland, and she was this German lady, and she's very pretty, and she's really nice, and she had this whole profile, and then she sends me a copy of her driver's license, and she sends me a copy of her passport to show that she's real. I said, no, I don't want that. I want to do a video chat.
Yeah.
Well, this whole thing went on all day. Finally, at the end of the day, she asked me for money for her daughter's birthday cake. And I'd never spoken to her. You think, come on, Ted, you're kidding. No, I'm not. I can write a book on this.
Passport, driver's license photo they pulled offline from somebody.
No. It was a lady, and this is a white German girl.
Yeah.
She sends me a picture of her on her driver's license and her passport, and I looked her up, and she was a black girl who ran a food truck in Lakeland. With the correct address on the driver's license. No, you say, wait a minute. No, the whole thing was fake. And you think, it can't be that bad. But Austin's right. These media profiles and these dopamine triggers, they're trying to compensate the body for a lack of B vitamins and specific nutrients, and the body gets exhausted with serotonin and dopamine getting doubled all the time.
The receptors get fried, and that's what happens. There's so much
dopamine in
the system that eventually what happens is nothing in reality even makes you like remotely excited anymore. You're so wrapped up in this internet world and AI and profiles and all these things that everybody shows you that now when you do something in real life, you go to a race car or you go to a movie
or concert
or you go to concert. I gotta be on my phone again. What's everybody posting? I've literally watched people be at concerts and be at stuff and they're on their phone playing on their phone while they're there. They're not even mentally there. And I'm like, what happened? You know, everybody wants to pull their camera lights on. I'm like, what happened to the lighters? I like the lighters.
A lot of times I just leave my phone in the car. My kids are all grown. It's a weekend. Who's supposed to call me that's that important that I have to pack a phone around radiating myself the whole time?
That's the truth.
I just leave it alone. I just leave it in the car. It's like, I'm done. Turn it off. Shut it off. Be done with it.
Well, and you'll notice a lot of times if you, especially with business and work, and you're on your phone a lot, and you leave your phone or you dump it for the day, you'll notice invariably you start at the beginning phase, you start getting phone anxiety. You go, where did I leave my phone at? Where did I leave my phone at? And you'll do it. I've done it too. You'll sit there and be like, where'd it go? What about, I'm off it for the day. You'll do that a couple times, and finally you break that trigger, and you go, I don't have it. Nobody can get a hold of me. I'm gone.
Oh, by the way, Major Taylor Greene, Marjorie Taylor Greene, claims taxpayer funds are used to silence victims of sexual abuse so the Epstein files, tapes, and recordings, witness interviews will never see the light of day.
Whoa. Wow, we call that stuff. Mm-hmm. So now they're backtracking on releasing everything now.
Oh, they're not going to release anything.
I knew they weren't going
to. I told you they weren't going to. Here's an article that said from Catherine Austin Fitz. When I was in Washington, the cabinet secretary Jack Kemp I was working for was compromised in the Franklin cover-up. That's the trafficking young boys, by the way. And when the Washington Times started running stories about the Franklin cover-up, he just went crazy and was being blackmailed. And I was in the middle of it because he was trying to order me to do illegal things and I wouldn't do it. I've never seen a human being more terrified, more afraid. I mean, he was just terrified because here he is, you know, a big family man and a Christian, and someone is blackmailing him, presumably over pedophilia, and he's scared to death. There's a wonderful book called The Red Mafia by Robert Friedman about the Russia Mafia, and the most important thing to understand about the Russia Mafia is they are 99% Jewish. This is Catherine Austin Fitz saying this. So you have enormous rat lines through the Ukraine, into Israel, into New York and London. So London, New York, Israel, Ukraine. We talk about Ukraine, you can think as of a war, but I think of it as a huge financial money laundering operation. She's right. The Epstein operation is right in the middle of Ukraine. And when Trump says to Zelensky, you don't hold the card, Zelensky is thinking, no, my name is on the bank accounts. I still have pots of money, and I have all the intel about where the money came in and where it went. So he does hold the card, is what it looks like to me. Now, I'm going to post this article. It's really, really good, and you guys need to read the entire thing.
Why do you think they had the Epstein files were supposed to come out that Friday with Pam Bondi blasting them out there? And all of a sudden now they had the big meeting with Zelensky, the big conflict. Mm-hmm. Now suddenly Pam Bondi goes, more files are coming, but we're on the timeline now. Oh, you said you had the files on your desk and they're about to be released.
There are so many congressional leaders and politicians and judges and Trump friends that are involved. Remember, Trump was his wingman for Epstein, and his first wife actually helped run and get girls for Epstein through Les Wexner with Victoria's Secret.
This
is wild.
If you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, thank you for coming to the show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you need anything, got the special kits, 3-pack GHI, Fit Food Protein, all of it on the website. Be sure to check it out. Get your points. Get your auto ship. Get stuff to you right at your front door in a few days. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friends.
Love you guys.